Binary Jazz, the show where everyone
wears shirts,
but not pants.
Because we all work from home.
Yeah, our lower.
That's why the cameras.
Yeah,
never move.
My name is Chris. I'm Jazz Sequence on the internet. Jazz Sequence with a 3. I'm joined as always by my 2 pals. Allison, who's Allison Plus on the internet, and is a amateur veterinarian, doing some back alley spays and neuters, and Gary, who's an amateur astronaut, building some back alley rocket ships and shooting them up into space with some diesel fuel and lawnmower engines.
I don't even own a lawnmower.
What?
Even better. Well, it's because it's in your rocket ship.
Yeah, well, there's that.
You have a lawn, right?
I do. There's a good story about this.
Take care of itself?
It does not. I own a cow. No, so several years ago, life was hectic, and I let my lawn get a little shaggy. Probably a bit of an understatement. I probably, like Florida, didn't mow for like a month. So it was like thick and luscious, which is also like another word for jungle. So I got a letter from the Homeowners Association, and I, with the stuff that was going on at work and at home, I was not going to get a chance to do anything about it anytime soon. So I suggested to Rhonda, I'm going to pay someone to do this lawn, at least to get us caught up for a while. And like, after that came twice, I said, I'm never mowing the lawn again. So I kept the lawnmower for a year as a symbolic symbol in the garage. Got rid of it. They do in like 15 or 20 minutes what took me 4 hours to do. They do a much better job.
Nice.
I'm happy to pay them to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they forget, especially in the winter. You don't get paid when they forget. It's fine. It all just works out.
Concept of mowing your lawn in the winter is fascinating to me.
Yeah, that's
I was like, why?
Yeah.
Because sort of
depends. Yeah. I mean, I have lots of Christmases that I was wearing a short sleeve t-shirt and no pants because it was in the 80s. Yeah. I mean, we have like colds. They call them cold snaps here. And it's, you know.
Cold snaps, they mean like, oh, it's mid-60s.
No, we'll get freezing for
a minute.
3 or 4 days. Yeah. A week. And then.
Okay, so maybe I should come to Florida for the holidays.
Yeah, it's nice here.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
California is always temperate. California has one temperature year-round. Well, the Bay Area has one temperature year-round. It's like 60s and 70s. Well, less 70s in the winter, but like basically 60s average flat year-round.
That's like... I like a location that has flat, like, temperature the whole year round. That sounds very appealing. However, 60s does not.
That's because you're in Florida. If you lived in the Bay Area, then you'd go to Florida.
And I do remember being there in like May and thinking it's awful chilly. Yeah, we pitched the tent on Tuesday night again. It was like mid-80s when I put it up and got to like the mid-70s overnight. Only like a little, like just really heavy dew and no rain. It was warm. It wasn't too hot, but it was
pleasant though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I guess this is the part where I introduce the topic.
I mean, it could be. We could continue talking about
I was like, backyard. This is nice.
This is nice.
Somebody's supposed to be doing something.
We don't pitch the tent.
Don't overthink it.
Because either it's too hot or it's too cold.
Well, so isn't camping in the cold, like, nice? You get out there, you put your tent up, and then you get, like, in your sleeping bag, and your face is a little, I say cold, like, I don't know, like 50s?
50s is normal. 50s is like legitimate camping weather at night. That happens like in the spring and the fall, and like if you nail the perfect window. Cold camping in the cold is like, you know, below freezing. Like we have sleeping bags.
That's cold. That's 100% cold.
We have sleeping bags that are rated for freezing, I believe.
I think mine's rated for like 20. And like it's a, you know, a high-end sleeping bag in Florida, and the kids is rated for like 40. The kids, they're individual. They don't have one. They share. They each have their
own. Like maybe for warmth, it makes sense.
Yeah, they're not that big, you know. Save money. Just buy one bag and toss them both in there. As long as it has two zippers and they can come from either end, and right?
Like, siblings love that. Siblings love spending more time together in a bag.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
We actually did that with the kids for a period of time, but I think we stopped doing that when we were potty training and bedtimes were not 100% dry. That was about the time when we decided that we should probably split them.
We gotta separate this out. or the one that's progressed is gonna be miserable.
Yeah.
That seems fair. That seems like a fair way to do it.
Well, so the topic for this week, which you may or may not know, now I'm just unsure of myself after last week. Is Tetragrammaton.
Tetragrammaton. Grammaton? Grammatron.
Grammaton.
Grammaton. Can you use it in a sentence, please?
The topic is Tetragrammaton.
This week's topic is Tetragrammaton.
That part truly never gets old to me. I like that a lot.
Grammatron.
Yeah. Grammaton.
Grammaton. Not Tron.
G-R-A-M or G-R-A-H-A-M, like cracker?
G-R-A-M-M.
Oh,
double A-G-O-N.
M. Yeah. So grandma, literally, grandma. Like your mother's mother.
Three grandmas in a Tetra Pak.
Not to be confused with Tetragrammaton, which would be three doses of gamma rays.
Deadly.
Yeah, I'm actually studying gamma rays right now in preparation to launch my diesel-powered rocket.
I would be shocked to read an article that features you doing some sort of back alley astronaut activity. Being like Florida man. True. You'll be Florida man, essentially.
Yeah, that's true. Back alley astronaut has a weird ring to it. I'm not sure if I like
Florida
it or not.
Man builds rocket out of lawnmower parts.
But I feel like back alley astronaut is sketchy in a legitimate way. Like the astronaut part like brings it back or tries to bring it back to like.
Legitimizes the back alley part. Yeah.
They're like science.
Okay. It's fine. It's science.
Yeah, but like, there's just science happening back here.
Yeah, but like back alley doctor doesn't like re-legitimize the doctor part. And that's also science.
Well, does that say more about our like mental understanding of astronauts and doctors?
We really just don't understand the science of astronauts. And that's like, I realized like all astronauts are pilots. You have to be a pilot before you have to be an astronaut. I didn't realize that for the longest time. Then I was like, oh, of course. Like,
yeah, because I mean, why wouldn't you want someone up in an area with no atmosphere that knows how to like vector vehicles around with wings that work in an atmosphere?
I'm like, we're going to take you from here, put you over here. And that makes sense. Sure.
Here's an interesting one.
Go ahead,
Gary. If you're the International Space Station, right? Think about this thing like orbiting Earth. And you go, oh, well, we're getting a little low. So maybe we should boost it up. The problem with boosting it up is now you've changed like where you boost it up, like where it's closest and furthest from Earth. Like if you boost it up, you're actually pulling the other side out, right? Or pulling the other side in. So if you imagine like Earth is moving my hand, so well now you've like increase or decrease the height on the other end. So to increase height, you actually just go faster, like in the direction you're going away, like straight. Mm-hmm. And then that, but you have to do it at the right time. Otherwise, you've increased the height on both ends. So if you're too shallow here and too high here, if you fire your rocket engines here, now you're high enough here, but you're way too high over here. So you have to fire like midway between to accommodate. Or no, I guess you would do it after your height. You would do it here. And that would also, yeah. Like, doesn't that, like, it's hard to, here's the thing. So if you were.
I'm sure they have actual terminology for it instead of just using their hands and be like, picture my hand being the Earth.
They probably do. I can't imagine like an astronaut calls back like, it looks like altitude's a little old, low. Should we?
The Earth is here, but we're
on the flamey end, the flamey pointy things. And... yeah, maybe I'm not qualified to be a back alley astronaut.
I would just work on the pilot license part first and then work your way up.
I was going to say is when you don't know a thing,
yeah,
and you think that the thing is too complicated, the way that you describe that feeling is that I'm not a rocket scientist. So it would imply that being a back alley astronaut requires a very high level of skill and expertise.
Because I'm glad that I put that back.
A literal
theory to rest.
Rocket scientist. The whole point of astronauts.
But you also have about brain surgeons, right? Brain surgeons, like it's not brain
surgeons. Yes, back alley brain surgeon doesn't sound good either.
It's not brain surgery.
Yeah, what does? I mean, back alley astronaut, but like would you go to like, I can think about getting LASIK done. Would I go for back alley LASIK?
No.
I don't know. What's the price? I mean, the answer is like maybe. It's a possibility.
Weighing the pros and cons.
Look, everybody starts somewhere, you know?
But there's
some guy that's done dozens of these versus some guy that's done thousands of these, you know?
Well, that's like, so in talking about terminology.
I apologize for gendering the back alley LASIK.
Back alley LASIK guy?
Yeah.
Like, check this guy out. So when you say like, oh, it's not brain surgery or it's not rocket science, but it's like also when people are like, well, it's not my first rodeo. And it's just like, well, how many rodeos do you need before you're truly qualified at rodeos?
Yeah.
Apparently one is the answer, right? One is sufficient.
This
is
but when have rodeo. You done something twice and you're like, I'm an expert?
Run a D&D game.
Well, rodeos are the only thing that come to mind, actually, that I felt like an expert the second time through.
This is my second rodeo, I'll have you know.
I got this, y'all. Second
this is
one.
Fine.
The kids have a bike rodeo this weekend.
A bike
Scouts.
Rodeo. Describe bike rodeo.
I don't know, but I'm super excited to find out, right? I'll report back next week, but it's I don't know. It sounds super.
I definitely have an image of one kid lassoing another kid on a bike.
I mean, I hope so. I really hope so.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope there's like an obstacle course involved or like.
Clowns inside barrels.
Yeah. If there's not.
The only thing you know about rodeos is there's clowns involved somewhere.
Yeah.
Distract.
Do you remember the movie Borat when he did the national anthem at a rodeo?
I know of the movie Borat, but I never watched the movie Borat.
Same. I only know it from people quoting it.
it's worth watching, I think, now because it doesn't seem nearly as extreme now as it did when it came out.
Interesting.
Yeah, in any direction. Like now you're like, oh, we just say Tuesday. Like it's.
It doesn't push the boundaries like it did when it came out.
No, because the boundaries now have moved astronomical distances. We fired the little flamey things, right? And we pulled the boundaries.
Do you remember when Idiocracy was so incredibly far-fetched?
Yeah.
We watched Idiocracy not that long ago because I have this golden age, like rose-tinted glasses, like in my memory of the movie being like really funny and whatever. And it is still funny. But it's also just really depressing. Same thing with WALL-E. Like you watch WALL-E and the people on the spaceship and their little moving chairs and it's like,
no, can't do it.
There are how many space movies are there? Wall-E, obviously a space movie. How many space movies are there where there are generations of humans on board and they just don't even know, they expect their generation to live and die during the transit of this space vessel, and they have no concept of like anything other than the thing they're on. There's several movies like that I can think of, and there are movies or TV series. And that is like the sole reason I'm glad that I wasn't born in the future. Imagine being born on that, like,
you're like a below decker. You're glad that you weren't born in the future?
That's one of the sole reasons. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Took me a minute to like click in.
Yeah. Was that not what you expected me to
go? Time that isn't now.
Wait, say that again.
Is the future any time that isn't now?
No, I think there's a time where it maybe.
Tomorrow is not the future. The future.
Like the future with a capital F.
Capital F, yes, is like always.
Oh, I understand the question. I'm sorry. I did mean the future as like a idyllic concept that I of a time that I would want to live in.
Okay. Capital F future. Yeah. Jetsons.
Yeah. In the year 3000.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the year 2000 was unfathomably distant in what, like 1960, whenever
99.
when Arthur C. Clarke wrote 2000.
Yeah,
that was the future. That was capital F future right there.
Prince wrote Party in 1999. What is the topic today?
Tetragrammaton. See, now I got the gamma rays in my brain from the tetragrammaton. Gramma is relating to words.
Yes, it is.
Tetra is three things. So it is.
Tetra is not three, is it?
It's a giant, three-headed.
Five.
Yeah.
Five-headed.
No, five is penta.
Tetra.
Like a pentagon. Yeah. So it's a giant.
Is it three, really?
It's a giant three.
I love that you guys are arguing about the numbers.
It's a giant.
I'm trying to, but Chris isn't going to argue about
it. It's a giant three-headed robot spouts words and corrects everyone's grammar. The tetragrammaton. It invades. You're using improper conjunctions.
Grammar robots. That's what the world needs.
Invasion of the tetragrammatons.
Next novel. I don't think that's it.
Also my first novel. That way you get the bad one out of the way, and then you can say, this isn't my first novel.
I like referencing the novel, like the first novel, someone being like, oh, so how many have you written? And you're like, oh, just the one.
Isn't it just the fish, the tetra? It's a very popular fish to keep in aquariums.
Isn't that a beta.
I don't know. It's sure, Gary. Yes, tetra is a fish that is popular in aquariums.
Tetra arcs. It's also a brand of fish food.
Because why wouldn't you give fish food a fish for food?
No, it's not. It's not actually fish as food. It's
it's the name.
For fish, by fish.
It's the name of a fish, and you're giving it to fish. Who's to say it's not actually fish itself?
Did you watch Finding Dory?
Yes.
Is it good?
No, I did not find. I did not watch Finding Dory.
It's no Finding Nemo.
Ah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I to completely change topics, I watched a movie called Night Shift the other night, starring Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. And if you were like, I never knew they were in a movie together, you'd be like, this movie is bizarre. It's basically like them in a coroner's office, and they start running an escort service out of it because they run the night shift and nothing else is going on. And who is it? Is it Shelley Long? Is that a person?
That's a person.
And
then Beverly
Long
Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Troop. Beverly True Bills. Anyway, and they help her and run her services out of the coroner's office. It's very bizarre.
This is like a mid-80s movie where Michael Keaton was in his like
He's in his prime.
That phase that we currently think that Nick Cage is in, where he's just kind of crazy all the time.
Yeah. That's like and they all look the same. It's actually really bizarre that way. None of these people have aged. But I think it was made in like 82.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Original music composed by Burt Bacharach.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. This might be going on my list of items to watch.
It was an interesting watch.
How did you stumble across it? Like what led you to
this path? My partner
Netflix recommending this to you.
Yeah. Actually, not only that, someone, my partner and I know, owns this movie on DVD and lent it to us.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And I was very like, why does she own this on DVD? Like, because I feel like, I don't know, like, I feel like all the movies I own are really like rewatchable. And I was just like, I don't know if this goes in that category.
This is one of my favorite bad movies that I own.
Future.
It was a made-for-TV movie. It stars Dean Cain and Wesley Snipes and Vanessa Williams. It is about, it's called Future Sport. And in the future, they play Future Sport. That is the name of the sport that they play. It's called Future Sport.
And Future with a capital F.
And they play Future Sport evolved out of gang violence. So instead of doing territorial battles with guns, they started in the streets playing this game called Future Sport in the alleys and streets to settle differences.
In some alleys and streets. Some yes. Alleys and streets.
Have the LASIK.
Brain surgeons and
astronauts.
LASIK.
In the future of Future Sport, you have a popularity index. Where you are rated on a global scale of your like popular, it's sort of like your stock price. Mm-hmm. So like Dean Cain's character has a very high popularity index, which he refers to sometimes as his PI index, which would then be his popularity index.
Oh yeah.
The plot synopsis is there are international terrorists that are threatening violence on like the Republic of the States or something.
Yeah.
What year
was this movie made?
90 something or other.
Yeah. So they're the terrorists.
Like during Superman?
The terrorists are Hawaiians.
Okay.
Wow.
There's international terrorists and they're threatening violence. And so.
Wait, are they international? Hawaii has seceded from the Union?
Yes. It's part of like the Pacific, Pacific conglomerate. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, this is a TV gem.
Yeah. And.
How do they pack all this into 90 minutes with
I mean, it's pretty good. It's definitely packed in.
But like you had to track that down on DVD probably, right?
Yeah, this was the way that I acquired this the first time, because this is my second copy of this. The way that I acquired this the
you
first
time. You wore out the tape on the first one.
Yeah, I had a VHS. And I had the VHS because my dad worked at the warehouse and would get free stuff. And so he's like, hey, here's a movie that you can have. And I'm like, okay, great. And so I watched it with my friends and we thought it was the most amazing thing ever. So much so that it became like a popular hit that we watched over and over again. And then when we didn't have the VHS anymore, I made it a point to get the movie on DVD because I needed Future Sport.
Yeah. Do you... So that's like your DVD. Like that's like the one that your family doesn't understand why you own it.
Erin understands why I own it. She gets it. Yeah.
Okay.
We've watched it together a couple times.
Let me make a note of this actually.
You're like add Night Shift and Future.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
It's not nearly as bad as some like particularly like, I mean, there's some bad like cult movies that I have owned over the years that are just bad. And then there's some bad cult movies that are funny, but probably not rewatchable that many times. Future Sport is good every time because it's ridiculous.
My go-to, like wear it out movie, is War Games.
Yeah, okay.
It's a pretty standard, boring, but really like when the nerdy guy's walking around going, the Whopper has already fought World War III, 10,000, whatever. Like it's that scene is just gets me every time. I love it. I'm like, I'm going to work on computers.
And you own it.
Oh, yes. I don't own a DVD player any longer, but I own the DVD for War Games.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never owned War Games, sadly. Mm.
I found it at Walmart in the early days of DVDs. Mm. I'm like, oh, I have to buy this. And they were stupid expensive, like when they first came out. And
yeah, now if you go to Walmart in the DVD section, you find War Games, it's going to be in the $2 bin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You should have waited 20 years, Gary.
Well, I would have missed about 130 watchings of it in that time.
130. Holy cow, we're already 10 minutes.
So Tetragrammaton is but what is it?
You didn't even say what you thought it was. I said giant robots that correct people's grammar.
I said it was a fish.
You said it was a fish. Tetragrammaton is a fish. Okay, great. All right, now we can continue to the actual meaning of tetragrammaton.
I just, if it was a fish, I just would be so over the moon. So the tetragrammaton.
Not tetragrammaton. There's only one.
Yeah, it's I guess once you hear what it is, it might make depending on your belief system. It's the four letters in Hebrew or in Latin for the biblical name of the God of Israel. So, YHWH. That's on a lot of things.
Yahweh, unpronounceable word, or the name that you're not supposed to say.
Yeah, which you just did.
Well, I don't think it applies to me. I mean, someone's not supposed to say it.
The four-letter scriptural name, basically.
I feel like that's probably something you should have known.
Probably.
Maybe, but I feel like also, I don't know. It's also, I guess, when I ask someone else if they, because I often pull the crowds to know if
crowdsource your
is a common knowledge thing that people know or not. Apparently it's also a song for Mars Volta, which I am not familiar with.
I don't know Mars Volta songs by titles.
Yeah.
I just know them by it's the one that does the dee 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 dee.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
So
but I do not doubt that they have a song that is named after the four unpronounceable letters in the Hebrew scripture. Yeah. We actually have questions. We have listener questions. I'm not entirely sure if they're legitimate listener questions or if there are people that are just trying to troll us.
Are you suggesting that be legitimate listeners?
I think they're legitimate if my past week is proving, hopefully. Okay. I'm sure they're bizarre. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, either way, I'm down with them. The first one was DFFFDDF, so I'm not going to ask that question.
No, I don't know about that one.
Let's see. If we're going, they're spaced a minute apart, so I guess I'll go with the one that is a minute older, which is Gary would like to know, what is it about Shark Week?
I would like to know that, actually.
Well, I would like to reference the classic song about Shark Week by the Handjob Academy, which is a all-girl rap group, some of whom are lesbians and some of whom are not, one of whom is a elementary school or maybe preschool teacher. Shark Week is all about menstruation. So that is it. That is what it is about Shark Week. It's menstruation, just for the guys out there, because obviously they don't know.
Okay.
That's what it is.
I, uh, I thought Discovery Channel.
If Handjob Academy has taught me anything, that's what they taught me.
That was the one takeaway.
Would have they not taught me something, too?
Also, I love the description of some of which are lesbians, some of which are not. I feel like I would like to describe any group of people like that.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Yeah. Like you're given like a
con- a number of people in this room, some of whom are lesbians.
Yeah. Or just like, you're just like the U.S. women's soccer team, some of which are lesbians, some of which are not. Like it just works in every situation.
It might not work if you're talking about the men's soccer team, but you know,
it might.
You could still make the argument, I suppose.
We live in such a modern world.
Don't assume, Chris.
That's true. I shouldn't.
No, I does it work for a restaurant though?
What, the lesbian thing?
Yeah, let's head to my favorite sushi restaurant.
Or are we going with Shark Week again?
I was thinking the lesbian thing, but okay. Discovery Channel's sensationalization is part of the reason that we are politically where we are today. I blame them
for the fascination with sharks.
No, a decade ago when they brought out Shark Week, it was a big like, ooh, we're really edgy, and now it's like,
and now we have Sharknado and we're jaded.
Mm.
I love that song too.
That's a song?
No, but it sounds like a song. Oh. Now we have Sharknado and we're jaded. I would listen to that.
Blowing that world wide open.
Next question comes from Chad. And he would like to know, yes, how much protein should you have in a day?
I think we all probably have different answers for that.
My answer to this question is a sufficient amount.
Enough. Yeah. Enough is the right answer. I am really big on eating what my body like is hankering for. So if I'm hankering for vegetables, like a specific vegetable, there's a reason. My body's telling me there's something in there that I need. I have a deficiency in whatever that is. So like, if it's something like reasonable, if it's junk food, that's a different story. But if I'm like, wow, I really want some carrots, like, you know.
But do you get that hankering like
often?
I was gonna say you get that hankering just like full stop.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like every day.
As a non-meat eater, I'm not like, you know what I could go for is beans and rice. Like I'm not like, I don't know.
I get that. I mean, there are meals that are just not.
I love beans and rice, but I'm not like,
no, but I mean, there's definitely times where I go, oh, I really need some beans. Like I can feel after the result of eating, like what it does to my body chemistry. And yeah, so definitely there are times when I desire protein in the form of meat.
Interesting. Yes.
I am not at all that self-aware of what my body needs. Like I barely.
Oh no, don't confuse that with being self-aware.
I barely register that it needs food.
Yeah, there's a special place where you're not very, like, you can't be, like, over hungry because, and everything sounds good because your body's just like,
anything.
Give me anything.
Yeah. Anything to go on, please.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're eating regular meals, then, like, breakfast, I never have a hankering for anything. It's just, like, put something in my belly. But lunch is there. I'm like, no, I could go for, like, a sandwich, like a peanut butter sandwich. There's a lot going on there.
Breakfast is hard. I don't do breakfast well.
I stopped doing breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you find that it just works out?
Yeah, because by lunchtime, I'm like, okay, I need to eat something. Okay. So, I used to skip breakfast like all the time or eat like really small breakfast. So like not having breakfast is like barely registers on my.
What about do you have a bad habit of skipping lunch for work, or did you have a bad
habit? Well, I have a bad habit of like postponing lunch, but not having breakfast helps with that because like if I push lunch back to like 2 or 3, I'm like, oh,
dying. Yeah.
I have scheduled lunches on my calendar now.
That's smart.
Every day. And I for the longest time, I thought it was like a silly thing. Like, why would anybody schedule lunch? Like, of course you're going to stop eating lunch. But the reality is like, I wasn't stopping eating lunch. So having it scheduled has been great. I'll just put an hour on the calendar, and if I'm really rocking and rolling, maybe I'll work 15 minutes into lunch and then take a 15-minute later lunch. if I'm like not feeling it, I'll stop 10 minutes early. It's like, you know, whatever. But that block of time is there, and I'm like, oh, I have lunch today.
Mm-hmm.
I have a scheduled lunch I got to do today.
Well, not like kind of, you still are getting stuff done, but it like knocks you off, and you manage to like actually get more nutrients to like brain fuel.
Oh yeah, my afternoons are so much more productive, unless there's meetings. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with meetings. Meetings are fine.
Slack notifications.
Hummus. Is there one more question?
The last question is an Ellison question. I figure we should probably hold that until next week in the chance, the fairly decent chance that we don't get any more listener questions.
You don't want to answer the DFFFF, DFFFF question?
I could. My response to that is
does your timer right now, spit it out, does your timer right now show under a minute left, or is it actually giving like a second countdown?
It says less than a minute.
Because I get a countdown. It tells me we're at 20 seconds left.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You're the chosen one. Mine just says less than a minute.
Well, I'm running it on Linux, so this is like a change. It's like it's a different,
yeah.
Which it's kind of lame. Like I know when it's all going to explode.
That is lame. That is.
Yeah. I might have.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.